The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway, Fan Run Radio. Oh, great, it's raining again. Yay. I thought we were starting to dry out a little too much there with, we had an entire 4 or 5 hour dry period, you know? Seasonal affective disorder in full effect here in East Tennessee. I mean, the basketball team is... I don't know what's going on with the basketball team, to be quite honest. I don't know what's happening here. We'll break it down, though, here this afternoon. 12-point win last night for Tennessee over Vanderbilt, but I don't think anybody was terribly impressed. And I'll include Rick Barnes in that, despite what he said after the game. But we'll get into it here this afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Want to thank everybody who came out to see us yesterday at Corner 16. A great turnout out there. And appreciate them feeding us so well out there. Boy, I rolled out of there. Brandon, after you left, I had to do it, man. I had to get the Rocky Top Hot Brown. Is that what it's called?
That's what you got?
Oh, man. That thing filled me up because I was going to have a piece. My plan was to have a piece of that peanut butter pie, too. But I couldn't do it after the hot brown, man. I was donezo.
Weak.
Dude, he ate that thing. I swear to God. I swear. We got off at 6. And at first, I was like, I was really tired, wanting to go home. I didn't want Russ to sit there by himself and eat. So I was going to stick around and talk to Russ while he ate his dinner. And, like, honest to God, 10 minutes later, he was done. We were packing the gear up.
What'd you go with for the side? That's critical.
Oh, smokehouse potatoes. Love the smokehouse potatoes. It might be my favorite side dish in town.
It's critical.
And that, I know, there's Knoxville, Tennessee. We got a lot of good side dishes. It might be my favorite side dish in town. That's no lie. Appreciate Quarter 16 for having us out there. Look forward to being out there again soon. Stay tuned for details. But let's get into it. Last night, we watched Tennessee go out there. We were an 18-point favorite. I think, to a man, we all believed in a beatdown. We all believed in a bludgeoning. I think we all kind of predicted around a 20-point victory. Tennessee ends up winning by 12, but, you know, they hit a late three by Admiral Schofield, which might be a meaningful bucket.
Yeah, as soon as that thing went in, and I realized that we were up by 12.
Yeah.
The net.
Yeah, the margin of victory component could be huge for Tennessee this year, and so that might be an important shot when we get to Selection Sunday. But I don't think anybody, you know, is terribly impressed here. The Vols are struggling, and I get it, man. It's hard to be a negaVol, right? Nobody wants to badmouth a team that is, what are we now, 23-2? One loss in conference play, 24-2, 12-1 in the SEC. It's hard to be critical when the record is so good. But, guys, we watch the games. I don't think anybody is under the illusion that we're playing as well right now as we did in the Gonzaga game, for instance.
Well, no, but that was how many games ago? 19? 20?
Probably about 15 games, yeah.
Well, no, yeah. 15 games ago? It was real obvious to me by the end of the game. I didn't notice it until you mentioned it about Alexander's finger.
Yep.
I don't. Has anybody specifically tried to pin Barnes down on injuries right now?
Nope.
Because I feel like that, you know, number one, it's obvious to me they're all dead legged. They've hit a wall.
Are you surprised by that, though? Because we've played a lot of guys over the course of the season,
yeah,
and we're
a veteran team. But it's gotten
the
rotation has shrunk, Russell.
It has.
And in addition, unlike other teams, probably outside of, I'd say, you know, Duke, Gonzaga, you know, maybe Kansas, we're getting like every team that we've played so far, even though they haven't been the cream of the crop, we're getting everybody's best shot because we've been number one. And Barnes has been wanting to win these games by at least 12. So, I mean, I said it, you know, the past few weeks about I really felt like he was gonna really need the most critical thing. I thought about it was managing the roster, managing minutes, and I feel like it's caught up to us with, you know, those guys for a long time were averaging, you know, the big four were averaging like 35 plus minutes a night.
I do think there is something to it. Like, I think Grant Williams is dealing with some injuries. You saw him, that fall he took on that left wrist, and it was the first time I noticed it. Like, he was pretty heavily taped up on that left wrist. He's wearing a new elbow sleeve on his right arm. Like, I think it stands to reason that he's pretty banged up. Stands to reason that Kyle may have taken a couple of shots. We've talked a lot about the beating bone has taken over the past couple of weeks. I don't know that the minutes thing – that I'm buying that as an excuse, because I watched Kentucky grind up Missouri last night and PJ Washington played 37 minutes. Hagans played 33 minutes. Keldon Johnson played 35 minutes and Tyler Harrow played 35 minutes. So, and that's more than our guys usually play. And Calipari's done that his entire career, man. He has ridden his horses throughout the season.
Yeah, but it's been a little bit easier for Kentucky this year because they haven't been getting everybody's best shot. They played like crap off and on for, you know, most of the season until they got to us, honestly. It was the first time I'd really seen them bring their A game.
Oh, they've been on a roll for about a month now. I mean, when was their last – have they lost since Alabama?
LSU?
No, I mean, they've been
– Well, LSU.
LSU.
Oh, yeah. They've been on a roll for a while now, and I look at it. I don't know maybe it's a combination of fatigue, injuries, slump, luck, schedule tightening up. It's probably never just one thing, right? But I don't know. Like, how alarmed are you? And here's the thing, man. It's again. Okay, we've lost two games. Let's not press the panic button and overreact here. But when the expectations had gotten as high as they were, and let's call it what it is, the expectations were Final Four. And I think that's healthy. It's hard to see us being a Final Four caliber basketball team the way we're playing right now. Can we get it back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't you go soft on me now, Smith.
I'm not. I'm worried. Do you think we beat LSU Saturday?
Honestly?
Yes.
Not unless we get – they have them sleeping in hyperbaric chambers and spraying them down with some substance I don't, you know.
Okay.
To get them better. But we're a very, very banged up basketball team right now.
So you think injuries are far and away the number one thing, and that if we lose this weekend, it's not necessarily because LSU's playing better or is a better team. It's just because we're beat up.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but it's definitely playing a factor in things right now. We look really disjointed on offense right now.
Yep.
They aren't playing together the way they were. I know people have been, you know, it's been two games in a row where Jordan Bowden – it's kind of – I don't know if I'd call it a slump, but you know, when the offense is clicking and they're running the offense right is when, you know, like Bowden really comes to life. He's, you know, they had like one series last night where, and even Billis, you know, I don't think they dribbled once. They threw four passes and then Bone buried that three. And they're not doing that every time down the court like they were earlier in the season, where they're just getting, you know, through good, crisp passing, they're getting the defense out of position, and then they pass it enough till they finally get to the guy who's got the good look.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the confidence is shook a little bit?
No, I just think I think the boys are really tired, man. I really do. That's where I think banged up is more than confidence.
It banged up, maybe. I have trouble accepting the fatigue excuse, because really, when you look at the other top teams, we haven't played that many more minutes. We're older than everybody else, so we should be really well conditioned to handle playing 30 minutes a night like we are. If the injuries are a thing, and Barnes somewhat alluded to that last night, then yeah, that would explain a lot of what we've seen the past week or two. But I do think that there is Barnes last night saying that essentially he wasn't worried about the offense because we played well on defense. To me, and maybe I'm, you know, parsing words and reading between the lines too much here, but it seemed like a coach that was didn't want to criticize his team because they'd been beat up a little bit by the press and fans over the past couple of days, wanted to instill some confidence going into off day today, 2 days of practice, huge game Saturday in Baton Rouge against LSU.
I mean, possibly regular season title on the line.
I don't understand why everybody's – I feel like the fans need to pump the brakes a little bit on their criticism. I feel like they're letting almost like the BJDS kind of rear its head a little bit. They got to understand it's not our football program. Have a little faith.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about Blue Bloods. Here's the thing about the Kansas – Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, their expectations are always Final Four, right? Their expectations are always – and if they fall short, they don't go to the Final Four every year, but if they fall short, it's not that they're mad at the team or even disappointed in the team. They're disappointed in the end result because the expectations are always that high. We used to have that in football around here until we lost our way. We used to have that same mentality. We talked about it yesterday, how 9-3 wasn't good enough. Doesn't mean we didn't like Arian Foster or, you know, the guys who were on those 06, 07 teams. It's just like we were disappointed in the end result. Doesn't mean we don't like Fulmer or Cutcliffe or Chavis or anything like that. I think everybody recognizes those guys were elite coaches at that time. But you're disappointed in the result, and I think that I know that we're not a quote-unquote blue blood in basketball, but if we want to have blue blood type results, which I think this team is capable of having, then I don't think it's unhealthy or unreasonable to have those expectations. And again, I'm just asking questions right here because we all saw it, man. We all saw that game last night. It wasn't pretty. We struggled. And, okay, we held them to 23% shooting in the second half. It was a good defensive effort, I suppose. Was it, or was that just Vanderbilt being 0-12 and they suck? Guess we'll find out Saturday.
I think a lot of it had to do with Vanderbilt sucking. I mean, hell, we only shot, what, 24%? I don't know what it was by the end of the game.
No, for the game, I mean, we shot, I want to say, in the 40s. Okay. But, I mean, we're talking about a team that shot 51% from the field.
Yeah, we hit one shot from the field in, what, the first 8 minutes of the second half? We had one field goal.
No, it was terrible. Yeah, I mean, it was
two
like
free throws.
Well, it was like 2-1 scoring in the second half, like 6-7 minutes in.
Yeah.
It was like I was having a flashback to the Kevin O'Neal era.
I was looking out there for Cortez
Barnes and LaMarcus Golden, man.
LaMarcus. I like LaMarcus.
I thought Shane Williams and Damon Johnson were about to walk through those doors. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio just getting started, just scratching the surface on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get on with us. 546-8200. Stay tuned. The Drive continues after this. Number 5, Tennessee extends its winning streak in Thompson Bowling Assembly Center Andorino to 24 games. A lot of people on the timeline last night saying atmosphere was pretty dead inside TBA. Brandon, you were there. Quick atmosphere report.
Yeah. Until when Vanderbilt cut it to 4 in the second half, that's when it got a little loud. People got behind the team. They started cheering. Then every time they'd score, they'd get loud. That's what I've been saying this whole time, and I think that's what Travis has been saying. I think that's the whole criticism. We don't get loud until we need to be.
All right, hold that thought. We'll circle back. Tennessee holds Vandy to their lowest scoring output of the season, limiting them to just 32% shooting from the field. Tennessee limited Commodores to just 23.5% shooting in the second half. Vols' defensive effort helped them to their 14th double-digit home victory of the season and their 10th double-digit win in conference play. Next up, Tennessee travels to Baton Rouge. Saturday, 12 noon tip-off against LSU. What's LSU ranked right now? They're hovering around number 10, right? Give or take a few spots.
13.
Lady Vols back on the road to take on number 21 Texas A&M tomorrow night in College Station. Tip-off slated for 8:02 p.m. at Reed Arena in a contest that will be carried by your SEC network. Lady Vols have quietly kind of pulled it together down the stretch here. We'll see. They've got some tough games left here. They're playing South Carolina, Vanderbilt at home, A&M and Ole Miss on the road. They have, I think, won 4 of their last 5. 5 of their last 6. Okay. Holly Worlick. Clinging to that job, man.
I like how you frame that narrative. She's trying to right the ship over there, and she could use your support, Russ.
She has it. 110%. Would love to see her make a run and get that team back in the Final Four where it deserves, where it's supposed to. To be. Baseball. Vols routing Northern Kentucky. Did you see the score last night, Bear?
No, I did not.
18-0.
18. A bludgeoning. A beatdown at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
So they haven't scored. Teams haven't scored a run on us yet?
36 consecutive shutout innings, 4 in a row. Tony Botello got the boys fought. Hey, we'll see, man. It's Appy State and Northern Kentucky. Not exactly a murderer's row, but I think anytime you beat somebody 18-0, you must be doing something right. Up next for the Vols. 9-game homestand continues with a weekend series against Indiana starting on Friday at 4:30. All 3 games will be streamed live online via the SEC Network in your Watch ESPN app. Congratulations to Baseball Vols getting rolling.
I've got an insane stat for you after the Rocky Top report.
We're done. Go ahead.
You know how much Manny Machado is going to make per hour for the next 10 years?
Oh, man. A little more than minimum wage, I'd suspect.
Yeah, roughly rounding up, $62,000 per hour.
$62,000 an hour?
Yeah. for the next 10 years.
More than the national median salary per hour.
$30 million a year for the next 10 years with the Padres.
How do they define an hour? Is that just per game?
I'll read it to you. The average MLB game is around 3 hours. At 162 games, he's not counting practice.
Yeah.
At 162 games a year, that's 486 hours of game time a year. And he divides it all. It comes out to about $62,000.
Wow. Good for him, I suppose.
Yeah.
This is sad for me to admit as a sports radio talk show host.
What's that?
Well, two things. I have no idea who this guy is. I know the name.
Machado.
It's a cool baseball name. I don't. Who does he play for?
He plays for the Padres now. Yeah. He played for the
Red Orioles.
Sox. What?
The Orioles.
White. I thought it was White Sox.
I'm pretty sure he played for the Orioles.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, so I'm not the only dumbass who has no idea what they're talking about in this conversation. I feel better now.
I mean, it's a drive. Usually you're not alone.
Yeah, he played for the Orioles.
Played for the Orioles.
Don't be a wise-ass.
What position does he play? Is he third base?
I'm not even going to have
third. He is? Okay. All right.
The big brain on Brandon.
That was me.
Oh.
Baseball expert. Guessed. Thank you. Baseball expert Russell Smith. At your service. Is he on roids? I just assume anybody who's good at baseball is on performance-enhancing drugs, too.
I figure anybody that plays professional sports is on performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, it's not like it was back in the late 90s.
You don't think so?
No. Those guys were on, like, real Russian horse steroids.
I was talking to somebody last week about who's in the...
Did you have lunch with him?
No.
Okay.
Who's in the strength and conditioning field. And he seemed adamant about this. This is probably reckless for me even to bring to the air. But we were talking about those.
When has that stopped us?
Good point. Those Clemson guys who got suspended. How many guys did they get suspended?
Three.
Three? I thought it was four.
No, it was three.
Three guys suspended.
Right.
A team that won the national championship.
For ostertine?
Some performance-enhancing drug. And, you know, there's a thought out there that these college football players, when they figure out that they've got a shot to go to the draft and they know that they're going to the combine in the spring, that they go ahead and start a cycle of whatever it is these guys do to get swole for the combine. Go ahead and do it because you don't know. Those guys got busted by the NCAA. The NCAA tests at the playoffs, right?
Right.
And in the NCAA tournament in basketball. Well, you don't know, even if you're Clemson, you don't necessarily know that you're going to the playoffs. So if you're a dude who's like being projected, you might get drafted, fourth or fifth round, something like that, you got a chance. In their eyes, maybe it's worth it to go ahead and do what you got to do.
No, dude.
Ahead of time.
No.
And if you get busted.
Ahead of time, they're doing that. They're doing it freshman, sophomore, junior.
So you think it's
senior.
You think it's just a free for all with no regard for possibly getting caught.
Dabo Swinney came out and said that Clemson had accidentally provided the
He said they might have.
The ostertine. ostartine. I don't know if it's if that's a growth hormone or what, but yeah. You don't really think I mean, I'll give them that they're getting usually the 25 best every year. But the kids from Alabama are just freakish. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see a lot of them or a significant number of guys that played Alabama that have incredible college careers. When they get to the pros, they're either used up or they start having those catastrophic tendon and ligament injuries where their tendons and ligaments are just shot from –
Well, our guys didn't have that problem in the 90s when we had more guys in the NFL than anybody else.
I don't think it was like it is now. I mean, I think there was a great deal of probably anabolics.
So we're just did this is conspiracy theory territory. Like we just assume all these guys are on stuff that's undetectable to any sort of drug test the NCAA could administer.
You think I'm trying to be funny when I say they ought to install the deer antler spray showers?
Would you rather have a situation where people who use those performance-enhancing drugs are held accountable all the time, or, you know, as much of the time as possible, or just go wild, wild west, and you do it if you want to. It's your body.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care.
You have to care, though, from a standpoint of, I'm a guy who wants to play D1 football or whatever. I don't want to have to take these things because I don't know what it does to my body when I, you know, reach adulthood, when I'm in my 40s and 50s. But now there's a pressure. But if it's legal, there's going to be tremendous pressure to do it just to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know, man. I mean, we've been having this conversation for 20 years now. And
I think it's incredibly sophisticated now. I don't know. I'll believe everybody's clean when the NCAA goes to Olympic level testing, like to the Olympic standard.
Yeah, but I feel like the Olympics are even dirtier than anything in the NCAA.
Yeah, but they catch everybody at the Olympics.
No way. No, they absolutely do not catch everybody.
They banned the entire country of Russia from the Olympics last time.
Well, do you think whoever won was clean?
Cleaner. I mean, you're
about, like, my assumption that everybody who's good at baseball is on performance-enhancing drugs. I just assume that you watch the Olympics, I just assume that that's a complete genetic freak show. That's just...
The Olympics?
Yeah, I just picture,
I think it's a lot cleaner than it was when me and you were kids. When me and you were kids, those East German swimmers, I mean, they had, like, beards. Had the back acne.
Yeah.
Helga. 200 IM butterfly.
Helga Oleg from West Germany.
East Germany.
I will break you now. Right after I shave my armpits.
Like you have no idea.
And my face.
Hey, you miss that. You're way too, like, the East Germans, back in the day in the Olympics, I mean, they, none of them ever smiled. Do you remember that? They just march in. We will destroy you.
Just machines. Winning machines. Kind of like Alabama football. Kind of like Clemson now.
Just to clarify,
yeah,
Manny Machado, Baltimore Orioles, until last year, and he was traded at the deadline to the Dodgers. So, to clarify any confusion. And Daniel Brackman says he plays shortstop, not third base.
Brackman.
Well, I think
Brackman.
I think we're all hip to the fact that the sports fans of East Tennessee come to the Drive for all the latest breaking
baseball information. I just want us to be factually correct.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you.
It's critical.
Stay with us. The Drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. We'll get your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question coming up next here on The Drive. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
I mean, is there a more fun accent to do than Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, ever.
It's even better than the Shia!
It's even better than the Shia!
Not the Tuma.
Oh, man. Having some fun with Arnold during the break. Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Smoking hot question of the day. How confident are you in Tennessee repeating as SEC basketball champions? The poll is in the field. The poll is in the field, ladies and gentlemen. What do you guys think? We'll go very confident, somewhat confident, not very confident, or zero confidence?
I'll go with B. I'm somewhat confident.
How confident were you before the Kentucky game?
Somewhat confident.
Really?
Yeah.
I was very confident.
I was very confident before the Kentucky game. Oh, yeah.
I knew it was going to be hard.
We were unbeaten.
Yeah, still. Our season was front-loaded. are backloaded with our tougher opponents, and it's hard to repeat in basketball in the SEC unless you're Kentucky.
I'm with Bear. I'm somewhat confident.
I was very confident before the Kentucky game. I'm somewhat confident now. If we beat LSU, I'll be very confident. If we lose to LSU, I will not be very confident at that point.
I'm right there with you.
Because, I mean, they'll basically
be a confidence thing. I don't think we'll have a path to it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll basically have it locked down. I mean, for them, it's kind of a win, and it's done as long as you don't just completely – they play Florida tonight. Where is that game? LSU and Florida.
Baton Rouge.
It's there tonight.
So yep. They'll have one more game against them in Gainesville. And that'll be it, right? I mean, it's
yeah, but they'll have the tiebreaker if they beat us.
Have they already
Saturday,
played in Gainesville?
I don't know. No, they have to play them.
They played them
games.
Twice in the last 3 weeks of the season. That's weird.
We have to play Kentucky twice in the last 3 weeks of the season. I mean, at that point, they're going to have the tiebreaker over us in Kentucky if they beat us on Saturday.
Boy, they're going to be just frothing at the mouth to get a piece of us. Going to be a tough game. What do you think? Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. How confident are you that the Vols will repeat as SEC basketball champions? 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board. Brandon will greet you as you call in here this afternoon on a rainy Wednesday afternoon on the drive.
But technically, if we only lose to LSU, if we drop the game on Saturday and then win out, and they drop one to Florida or whoever, we could still technically tie just like we did last year. So,
would it be a numerical? They would win, though, because they've beaten Kentucky and us, who they've only played once. I mean,
but Auburn beat us head-to-head last year. We had the same record, and it still counted.
Oh, that's right.
They would have the one seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
But we'd still be co-champions.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And a three-way split.
Yeah, and then it'd get real convoluted between the two and three seed if we beat Kentucky down here.
And LSU beat us both? Because that's what it would be. It would be mutual opponents, right?
Yeah. But no, Kentucky would have the three because if we beat them, they've got more SEC losses than we do. Don't they? How many times has Kentucky lost?
Twice.
Now?
To Alabama and LSU.
Yeah, I mean, if we lose to LSU and then win out, then
we're the two seed?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say this. The regular season championship does not mean as much to me. And it was a great thing to accomplish last year. And that's the one that the conference recognizes. People forget that. The SEC when in the SEC record books, the conference champion will always be the regular season conference champion, not the tournament champion. The tournament championship is its own thing, and I want to win that. Truth be told, if I had a choice between winning the SEC tournament and the regular season championship, I might take the tournament. But it would be cool to be able to repeat. I mean, that would really be planting your flag as a powerhouse in the SEC.
Is the tournament champion is who gets the automatic bid, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. You think they ought to do away with the conference tournaments?
Just completely?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy, man. I never even thought of that. Is that a thing?
You can't. I think me and
you can't in basketball.
Coach Barnes would like it.
You can't in basketball. I could see.
Why would Coach Barnes like it?
He's not a fan at all of the conference tournament.
Really?
Yeah. You remember him saying that last year? Wears him out right before the big dance.
Well, he wanted. I don't know that he was not a fan of them at all, but he wanted it moved up. Like the ACC plays their championship game on a Saturday, where we play ours on a Sunday. So I think,
and then when you have the day of selection Sunday,
to me it's like these conferences are trying to outdo each other. It's like, come on, man, let's all play our tournament championships on Sunday. Can we get back to that? Like instead of trying to work one in on. I mean, that's sly on the ACC's part. I mean, the other option is like the SEC moves up their tournament, and maybe that's what we ought to do just to get that extra day.
Last year, I don't know if it's the case this year or not, but last year the Big Ten played their conference tournament a whole week before everybody else did.
They had a whole week off to rest.
It's not fair. Mm-mm. It's not fair. It's not fair.
You need to workshop that a little bit.
Thanks, Bear.
You've not been impressed with Russell's accents the past 2 days.
He's still butthurt because I took him for a ride the other day. And Travis Cabbage made those
took
funny gifts
for
of me
a ride.
Throwing him through a plate glass window.
Took me for a ride. He didn't take me for nothing, buddy.
I think
you've that, acted like a complete loon all week.
Yeah, I've been
tried to take it out on Travis. And
I think the
me
thing that Tennessee, speaking of the whole "are we banged up or are we tired" thing, it doesn't do any good now in its quest to repeat as conference champions, but those days that you get, and assuming we're play on a Friday in the SEC tournament, that gives you 4 full days, or really 5 days off with, I guess the last game is always on a Saturday. So that gives you some time off there. And then you get into what we talked about last year. It's like, if you get to Sunday in the SEC tournament, you better win the darn thing. Otherwise, you've just played 3 games in 3 days with maybe 3 days rest for nothing. You got three games in 3 days, nothing to show for it, and then you've got 3 days to get ready to go play in the NCAA tournament. So if you're going to get to the conference championship game in the SEC tournament, you better win the darn thing. I think that hurt us a little bit last year, to be quite honest with you. We'll take a quick timeout. Travis, hang right there. You'll have the floor when we continue. We get to these phones, 865-546-8200. The drive continues. Your phone calls coming up. Fox Sports Knoxville, the drive continues. Rainy Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Let's go to the phones. Travis is next. Hello, Travis.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. What's up, man?
Hey, man. I was going to see what y'all thought about. Sorry if you've already touched on this. I just got you guys turned on. But what about what y'all think about Rick's post-game comments last night?
Which ones?
Well, he just seemed like it was just seemed odd. You know, he just kind of propped him up and was super positive all of a sudden. You know, he always kind of harps on the guys a little bit. I don't know. I just thought it was different.
I think he knows that they've worn out and they're really beat up right now.
My take on it, Travis, and Bear could be correct. My take on it is he thinks his team's psyche might be a little bit wounded and they're a little frustrated or whatever mentally right now, and he's trying to build them up a little bit and not – because you're right, he does like to harp on things specifically with individual players, and he really didn't do that last night. Said he was very pleased with the effort, which is strange because I don't think any of the fans were.
Well, he specifically said he was pleased with Kyle's effort, so I don't know if he's trying to play reverse psychology or what. I just thought it was kind of odd. But anyways, I just wanted to get y'all's take on it. I appreciate your call.
Hey, thanks, Travis. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I mean, Alexander –
would he kill you
night
to apologize to him for how badly you've treated him this week?
Who?
Travis.
How? Oh, Travis?
Yeah.
Treated him well, man. We're buddies. He took time to call the show. Alexander last night, 3 points, one rebound. Or I'm sorry, 3 points, three rebounds for Kyle Alexander, 19 minutes. One block.
Yeah, Kyle's got what appears to be I wonder when he busted that finger.
Probably in practice, because you'd have remembered it for a huge issue during a game.
Have they said whether it was broken or dislocation?
I've never heard anybody talk about it.
I didn't even notice it till you mentioned
it. It's not an uncommon thing in basketball. Your fingers get jammed all the time. Usually, if you just have like a dislocation or something, you'll just tape it together to the next one, right? But his appears to be a splint. And you'll remember the 2010 finals, when Dirk broke his finger and still went off and just
right
pretty much single-handedly beat LeBron's Heat? And he had a broken finger like that. So that goes to show that you can still play through it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it just depends. Sometimes dislocations are worse than a break. You ever dislocated a finger?
Yes.
I dislocated my thumb one time. Excruciating.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't get better right away either. I mean, that's the kind of thing, if you're battling a broken or dislocated finger, probably not going to get back to 100% until the off season. It's just, it is what it is. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are starting to parse Rick Barnes's words, looking for clues as we head into the postseason. But it's interesting. Let's get Sean in here next. Sean, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's going on?
What up, Sean?
Hey, man. I've called the show for years now, and I've never badmouthed callers, and I'm not going to start now. But I did meet a caller yesterday, and I'm glad I did, because when said caller would call, I'd sometimes maybe turn the dial down and get a little frustrated. But after meeting this person and seeing the smile on their face and the utter joy they have and the way they love UT, you know, I was kind of kicking myself last night, you know, for the way I had felt for somebody that I had never met.
Who's that?
That's kind of a good thing. What's that?
Who's that?
Oh, you know, like pork chops.
Oh, yeah. Pork chop.
Yeah. I kind of completely changed my opinion, and I was kicking myself a little bit.
You know, the world would be a better place if everybody just met everybody.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that we don't talk to anybody anymore. We just sit on Twitter, or we don't have to see the guy. And we could just say all sorts of just horrible things about
him.
That's
absolutely rich coming from you after you brutalize me nightly on there.
I see, but I see you and I say it to your face, too. It's the difference.
That's true. That is true.
So, yeah, a little bit of a lackluster game there last night. I think it's just, you know, almost like a trap game there. Loss to Kentucky and getting ready for LSU. You know, hopefully we get back on track Saturday. It's an early start, 11 o'clock down there.
Yeah,
I think we'll be all right.
Think so? We'll learn a lot about. So. I mean, like, if we go down there and take care of business and beat them in Baton Rouge, I mean, that place. I don't care if it's 8 a.m. local time. Like, that place is going to be full of wild, rowdy Cajuns. If we could go into that environment and win Saturday, I think people will feel a lot better about the end of the season coming up.
100% agreed, and yeah, them Cajuns, they get to drinking early if they even stop the night before.
Yeah.
All right, guys, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Sean. Good to see you yesterday. Let's get Roger in here next. Hello, Raj.
Well, hey guys, how y'all doing this afternoon?
The Raj, doing well. How are you, sir?
Oh, they're great. They're fine. They're great. It's good to talk to y'all today. I just seen y'all yesterday. I had a blast. I had some people on phone last night today. I had a blast seeing you all. I enjoy seeing you and Bear. Y'all funny. Actually, I had a blast seeing y'all last night yesterday, and the game too was great too. So I had a blast yesterday. I just want to tell y'all that and
hey, Raj. Raj.
Huh?
Raj. How much damage did you do at that concession stand over there at the Tommy Bowl?
I just had some popcorn and some water. That's all I had.
Really?
That's all I had. I had a lot.
Well,
a
good
lot
for you, Rod. You look like you slimmed down a little bit. You been dieting?
No.
Well, you're looking good, my man. It was good seeing you yesterday.
Well, thanks, Barry. You see you too, Russ. And wanted to ask you about the game. Do you think that yeah, I just want to ask you. I just want to tell you first for your question, Russell, about the. I feel confident. I'm not sure how confident, but I feel confident. I ain't. So that's why I answer your question tonight. And that's one to ask you. You think Tennessee last night was tired last night? You think Russell and Barry think they play okay to win, but you think they're a little tired? You think that's what happened last night? They're tired. You think
they do. They look tired. They look frustrated. Yeah. Quite frankly, and hopefully they could just battle through it, and these shots will start falling again. But they, you know, for whatever reason, are not hitting on all cylinders like they were a couple of weeks ago.
Oh yeah, you're right. And You think that, how far is I know you're playing LSU. How far, you think to be best? No, it'd be fine. Than our, you think wrestling Bear than our fight than our LSU.
Raj, I think we're walking into a hornet's nest down there.
No, he's asking, are we busing or flying?
Oh, we're flying. There's no way we're driving down there, Raj. It's like what, 12 hours, 11 hours? Rush, you drive down there?
Yeah, it's at least 12.
Yeah.
No, they'll fly. You can't.
There's no way. Those guys. And Russ had a really good point. And at first I thought you were being kind of weird last week or just stupid last week about it. Sorry for calling you stupid. About them busing to Lexington. But then, you know, I'm kind of wondering now if that was maybe the best idea in the world. Put a bunch of 6'8 dudes on a bus.
I don't know what the normal
travel arrangements are. Like, I know Vanderbilt, we just bus. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Seems like we should have our own plane with, like, our logo on it and big leather seats inside.
Extra room for the tall guys.
Pretty waitresses. I'm sorry, stewardess. I'm sorry.
Flight attendants.
Flight attendants. Good snacks.
That is a sexist comment.
No, certainly not.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
I mean, I want the best for our guys, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it could be, you can have a male flight attendant on the plane. That's not weird at all. I'm okay with that. You okay with that?
Yeah, I had one diffuse the situation between me and a female flight attendant. On a flight one time.
You had a situation with a female flight attendant?
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised? Stay with us. Hour number two coming up.